Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 246 of the Canadian Football Countdown, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network and the Alternative Football Network. We're here to do another countdown today, counting down the top 10 CFL wide receivers for 2024. Let's put some predictions out there and make our picks here today. We'll talk about some other news topics and probably some other random general sports topics as the show goes on here today. I'm Ryan here. I'm Ryan Coop, joined by the leader of the Trey Cinematic Universe, a man who is truly inevitable, the great Trey Colbeck. How you doing?
Fantastic, man. This might be one of the greatest times in sports. Horse racing's heating up. Kentucky Derby's next month. Baseball, hockey, and NBA playoffs, Masters, UFC 300. Like, what more could you want? Maybe some football, but there's the UFL. But soccer's in full swing, I'm pretty sure. What else can we want?
Yeah, there's quite a bit. It's great.
Yeah, it's better. And Tom Brady is teasing a comeback, I saw. Yeah. So, you know, what more can we want? You know, and yeah.
It's just going to be an annual thing now, you know.
Yeah. I see him playing more than I see Stiegel. So,
You know, what was that movie they made for Tom Brady? Was it like 80s for Brady or something like that, of the Tom Brady fans? Brady himself in his 80s is going to, they're going to make a movie about him as he makes another comeback at that point. We mentioned the Trey Cinematic Universe. You want to tell folks what that's all about?
Yeah, man. So my life, it just circulates around three podcasts pretty much, and this is one of them. And we're kicking off with the CFC Countdown Top 10. Adam, you know, that internet doesn't always work in Saskatchewan, but Adam's in our thoughts and prayers. And then tonight, I'm should be released sometime tomorrow or tonight. Cashing in on the UFC episode 10. I'll talk about UFC 300 and the debut of my new co-host. Will come on tonight. So it won't just be me talking for 20 minutes. I'll actually have someone to talk to. Not a podcast guy, so it's going to be a new experience, but I get to be Ryan on that show and nice. Try to keep everyone on the tracks, which means it's going to go to shit. And then tomorrow morning, my normal Harness News update. I recap racing action from around North America, preview some big stake races this weekend, and I talked to a rising star, Brett Beckwith, 21-year-old driver from New York, who you and Adam are pretty good-looking guys, but I'm not used to being the second best-looking guy on the podcast. So when I was interviewing that guy, I was a little like, oh, damn, I wish if he looks that good at 21. But, yeah, it was an interesting guy, and, he doesn't like the Yankees either, so he got my good books.
You said you got to be the Ryan. I don't wish that upon anyone. So good luck.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. My UFC buddy. This is a big buddy of mine, and I'm sure there are some Call of Duty lobby recordings in the deep dark web of us that do not need to see the light of day. But this will be classy. This will be good. All right. You know. So it'll be
fun. Busiest man in podcasting. We got a classy show for you here tonight. Yes. Me and Trey again. Adam, you made it sound like something terrible happened to Adam. Thoughts and prayers, but
it's
just his internet connection, really.
There's nothing to do in Saskatchewan, so once the internet goes down, you're base, what are you gonna do, like drive into town? Nah, not now.
But the number of things Adam has to do in a day. Yeah, surprised he makes time for us, to be honest. True. All right. Yeah. Let's talk some CFL wide receivers.
One quick thing. I totally forgot. OJ Simpson. RIP today. We all know what he did or didn't do. One of the best at being not. What was I going to say? One of the best running backs at not getting caught, both on and off the field. There we go. That's what was my little joke there. But yeah, OJ Simpson. I just like, of all people, to break Twitter, kind of thing today. That was good. But anyway, top 10. Let's go.
Yeah, top 10. We'll take your comments and questions in the live chat throughout the night as well. We're live thanks to presenting sponsor GameTime TV. Learn more at GameTimeTV.ca, Facebook.com/GameTimeTVMB as well. Send those in the YouTube and Facebook and Twitch feeds if you're joining us there. I see a couple of people tuning in the live chats. So welcome this evening to all of you. Before we go any further, we want to acknowledge that the Canadian Football Countdown is brought to you from Treaty One Territory, traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation, as well as from Treaty Four Territory, traditional territory of the Cree, Soto, Dakota, Lakota, Nakota, and Métis Nation. If you're looking for additional content in between these weekly episodes, check out the Discord community. We have a link in the episode description. Do not come in and spam us with scam messages, but join the actual conversation. Lots of CFL chatter. I mean, we're a month away from CFL preseason football and training camps and all that fun stuff. Drafts coming up later this month. I'm sure the conversation will ramp up more and more as we get closer to the start of things, which I'm excited. I'm giddy. The start of the CFL season. You talk about all those sports going on, and I'm not a big I'm not big into a lot of these different sports. I've gotten into the NFL. I'll follow along the UFL, NHL. I would love to watch more of that if I had the time. But for me, the big one's CFL. So I'm very excited. The season is coming up soon. But I got to say, I do love doing these off-season shows with the countdowns and the debates on these different topics that we will get into here tonight. But first, a couple of retirements around the CFL community to talk about. I think the most impactful one that we didn't necessarily see coming is defensive lineman Sean Lemon of the Montreal Alouettes. Huge piece, came in halfway through the season last year for Montreal. They signed him after he got cut from BC, I think it was, in training camp. He comes in, huge piece of the defense that leads them to the Grey Cup victory. Re-signed with Montreal real quick after the Grey Cup. And, we started looking at, they're bringing all these key pieces back again. But Sean Lemon has hung up the cleats now. Do you think he just had a change of heart as the offseason went along?
Yeah, probably. We were probably getting to that time where guys start hitting the gym and early training camps and stuff like that. And maybe he just, didn't feel the drive. But he's definitely a guy that I could see come Labor Day maybe plays the last little bit, maybe unretires kind of thing. Can you do that? Especially if it goes back to Montreal. I could see that. But, yeah, I could see that this time of year you don't get that drive anymore, maybe.
Who makes the comeback first, Sean Lemon or Tom Brady?
Yeah. See, I don't know the Tom Brady thing. I thought he couldn't because he's a majority or a minority owner. Mm. So now because you can't be a player owner and he partly owns the Raiders unless – I guess he has to sell it.
You can't tell me they wouldn't make an exception for him. But anyways.
I could see Lemon coming back probably before Brady. And again, maybe he's getting to that age where maybe just playing 7-8 games down the stretch might be all he needs. And it's just a retirement for now. And then he's going to be watching highlights on TSN and being like, I want to play. Montreal's first or second in the East. Yeah, I'll play.
Heck of a way to go out on top, too, and I respect it, right? The way he did this. If you look back at it, wasn't he not the year before the sack leader in the CFL with like 14 sacks with Calgary, I think it was. Nobody's really signing him until the last minute BC does in training camp, and then they still cut him after that. And it's like, this is a disservice. Like, this is a shame that this guy is still one of the best in the league and just, he's getting up there in age, but like, he clearly can still perform and has been performing at that high level. I thought he got kind of a raw deal. So I love that Montreal brought him in and to be able to do that and go out and win that Grey Cup. I mean, so many guys end their careers, whether it's due to injury or just never winning that cup. So for him to get that another one in there, I think he might have had one or two before that. I don't know. It's hard to tell. He's bounced around the league between so many teams and so many different stints with the same teams too that I don't off the top of my head remember. I'll look it up here as we go along. Look who's backstage in the meantime. Adam has fixed the internet potentially and has arrived. Adam, how are you doing?
Well, I'm not too bad. I'm not sure if this is all working or it isn't working.
We see you. We hear you.
I've only got a half a face, but that's not a point.
Who's the poor idiot you have holding a coat hanger outside right now, man?
I've got somebody holding my Starlink dish looking like the Statue of Liberty right now, but yeah, I guess
it's Is it working yet? Is it working?
Pretty much. Hey, they always said people in Saskatchewan are friendly. They're just wanting this to work, and you know, we just can't have too much Winnipeg stuff. So,
well, we're happy you can make it tonight, Adam. We got your top 10 list. You sent it in, but now we don't need it because you're here to give it yourself. So that's great. We're just talking about the retirement of Sean Lemon announced this week. I did pull it up. It looks like he did win a Grey Cup with Calgary back in 2014. May have won one with Toronto. Did Toronto win in 2017?
No, I don't think so. And we'll have to take a look.
Yeah, because that was Calgary and Toronto, and Toronto won the Grey Cup that year. So Sean Lemon has a cup then. Toronto, BC. Yeah, so three cups, I think, for him to be able to retire with. My one bone to pick, and I saw somebody else suggest this, and I unfortunately don't remember who, is why couldn't he have signed a one-day contract with the Hamilton Tiger Cats to retire and complete the Kevin Glenn bingo card?
Yeah, no, it's a shame. It just didn't work out. But no, the guy had a hell of a career, though. I mean, he's been everywhere except for Hamilton. I mean, anywhere he went, he was dominant. Maybe not so much in Saskatchewan when I remember him here. That was maybe one of his bad years. But overall, I mean, the guy had a motor like there was nobody else. So I think it's kind of fitting that he retires as a champ and moves on and does his thing. And yeah, congrats to Sean for a great career.
It was Steph from the Go Stamps Go show who tweeted that out, that he should sign with the Tie Cats for a day. I got to give credit where credit is due. Yeah. And like you pointed out, a big piece of that Montreal defense that's suddenly not going to be there this year, eh?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big one for them to recover from. When you have a D-line and like what they had, and especially with Sean Lemon really going and being that, I think he was an edge rusher, if I was not mistaken. He wasn't up the middle. Usually he was on the edge. And that's a big piece to lose for the season now all of a sudden. And you got to find somebody to replace him or at least try to fill his shoes. And I don't know, Montreal's got a little bit of a chink in the armor all of a sudden.
I don't know if they do, though, because I just pulled up their roster here. And, like, despite the return of Lemon this offseason, they brought in Dylan Wynn from the Ticats, and they brought in Derek Wigan and Isaac Adeyemi-Berglund from Calgary, who are three real good defensive linemen in their own right. So I would kind of wonder, did Montreal have any foresight here that maybe there was going to be a change of heart to load up? Because I thought it was a bit surprising how much they beefed up that defensive line despite the pieces they had already.
Yeah, no, they beefed it up a little bit. I think they should be okay, I guess. And I still say, though, you can't replace a piece like Sean Lemon
and
expect the same results. I don't care if it's Berglund or if it's Wiggins. They're not the same player as Sean Lemon is. And he was an outstanding player for his reason. He never stopped. Like I say, you could definitely fill a hole, but can you fill a player like Sean Lemon? I don't think so.
No, absolutely. Another retirement it was a retirement we knew was coming, but it was officially announced this week. Andrew Harris signing a one-day contract with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to retire with them. Trey, what was your reaction when you saw that?
It's good to see, I guess, because it sounds like things didn't end perfectly at the end there here in Winnipeg, and yeah, I guess it's the right thing to do. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Adam, what do you think about Andrew Harris?
Oh, I thought he should have retired as a BC Lion just to mess with the Winnipeg fans. Anyways, no, you know what? He was, again, dominant player in the CFL. I mean, Canadian, I mean, ratio breaker. Did lots of great things in his career. Won a couple of great cups, of course, with his hometown, which is kind of nice to do. Then kind of got beaten by his hometown, which I guess Anyways, no, like I said, Andrew Harris, I think, let's face it, he'll be living in Ryder memory for a long time because he usually had his best games against Saskatchewan, it seemed like, all the time whenever he came into Mosaic or we had to go to IGF and for Regina. And he was a great player. I mean, he was a great CJFL player when he played with the Victoria and Island Raiders. And I think, yeah, it'll be you know what? It'll be interesting to see who's the next Canadian that comes up to take a spot of Andrew, a guy like Andrew Harris. Is it Brady Oliveira? Very possible. Nice to see a couple more Canadian running backs develop and show that, yeah, you can play in the skill positions even if you're a Canadian.
Yeah, heck of a career for Andrew Harris. That obviously didn't end in a nice way with Winnipeg. So I'm happy to see this still happen, right? And even last season, like, he was on the bench when the Argos came to town, which was the first time he had come back to IG Field since he left for Toronto, because they didn't come in his first season here, right? So his first time back, they had a nice tribute to him, standing ovation, see him welcome back. That was nice, right? Because, yeah, it didn't end well, but also, like, he delivered a lot to the city over his time here and even in BC as well. Heck of a career for Andrew Harris, one of the best Canadian running backs, certainly, I've seen in my lifetime. For him as he hangs it up. And I recommend checking out the Bombers put out their own podcast called Handled Internally, and they had Andrew Harris on recently talking about his retirement, and some good stuff in there. I know he was saying, especially over the last couple of years, really struggling mentally with a lot of things and trying to persevere through that. So, you know, good to see the human side of things for football players there as well. And also, I think they have a documentary on him coming out sometime soon.
Thought I heard that, yeah. Not too sure when.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that. I'm not sure on that either. But, yeah, that would be interesting to see as well. So congrats to Andrew Harris on a heck of a career. I guess is he still off to coaching in BC?
I think that's the last I heard. He was off to do some coaching. So,
all right. Any other topics you guys want to get to, or should we get into talking about some top 10 wide receivers?
I got one, I guess. You know, the Rough Riders made two signings this week. Two of them are pretty major, actually. They introduced Dave Thomas, Wendy's spokesperson. No, I'm kidding. As a the new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He was formerly, I think he did with the Saskatchewan Rush. I think he did some WHL games with the Blades back in the day. So very well experienced in the Saskatchewan football community. I think he'll be good. I know he used to always do the broadcast for the Saskatoon Hilltops. So he'll do really good in the job. I think that's it was kind of a no-brainer. And if he wanted it, I think it was always going to be him. Unfortunately, didn't work for me. Didn't get my job. Oh, well, maybe next time. Let's hope it's not for a long time, though, because the Riders really need a consistent play-by-play guy. They've ran through a few of them lately. But the pregame and postgame show host is none other than Three Down Nation's Justin Dunk. Which,
double congrats.
Yeah, I guess. I hope Naylor got to him quickly. Kind of a little bit of a surprise, I think. Not because of anything for his track record or anything. It's just that, you know, he's been on Sportsnet. He's done quite a bit with them over for their CFL thing. And, of course, Three Down Nation, which everybody knows about. I wonder still, and I said that in our over on our Discord feed, did he actually break the news that he was going to be the new pre-game, post-game host? I mean, that'd be
That's
weird.
Cheating. That's cheating.
A little bit, but, you know, still be funny. And especially if somebody offered him a couple of congrats over it. So, but yeah, those are the two guys going to be taking over for the voice of the Riders. Luke Mullender is still going to do color. And I think they've got Wes Cates actually doing the halftime show along with Dunk. So that'd be kind of cool for the Rider fans that really care about that. Congrats.
Double congrats. I'm excited for the fresh faces, obviously, in there. And Justin Dunk is one of the best in the business. I don't know much about Dave Thomas myself, but Excited to see what he can do. And the highlight for me was Wendy's actually responded to their tweet and said, good name, basically. So.
Get that sponsorship. Section. I don't care which one it is.
Wendy's is pretty legendary on Twitter. So
yeah,
they have a good, they have a good reputation with old.
Yeah, how do we get to the point? How do we get them to start?
Bring Dave Thomas on to the podcast?
I guess, yeah. Wendy's, if you're listening, call us, sponsorship. I'd be down.
We'll get our people to talk to your people, which is pretty much Mike talking to...
Oh, instead of the pancake challenge, you have to do, like, Baconator challenge if you lose fantasy.
Oh, no. So much bacon.
Oh!
Wouldn't make it one per hour, but make it, like, one for 3 hours or something. Oh, and then you get taken off your 24 hours at Wendy's.
I kind of like my heart tray. I don't think I'd like that.
I don't. I would do that.
Oh, the salt content alone.
Oh, I know.
But all the bacon and all that. Just the salt content.
I want Wendy's now. Oh, shit.
Well, you got DoorDash. Come on.
Yeah, I do, but I've already gotten in trouble once for ordering pizza through a show.
I mean, I tried
to get in trouble for
it. Okay, okay.
I mean, I tried to order deliver here, but, you know, it's 45 minutes, so...
In fact, it made the highlight show put out. So
that's true.
All right, let's start counting down our receivers here, guys. Top 10 CFL wide receivers for 2024. Same criteria as we did for quarterbacks and running backs. It's who we're predicting will be the top 10. There's so many wide receivers out there that we figured five wasn't enough to capture it fully. So we're going to go top 10 here. And what's your criteria? Is it leading the league in yards? Is it touchdowns? Is it a combination of both? That's kind of up to you, and how you evaluate what truly means top wide receiver. We're going to switch up. Trey and I were talking about this pre-show while Adam was trying to fix his internet. We're going to switch up the format a little bit. So we're not going to go, you know, each give their number 10, each give their number 9, et cetera. Then we find, you know, I talk about a guy and then like three rounds later, we're rehashing the same conversation. So we're going to start. Somebody's going to throw out their number 10 and then explain why. And then the other two are going to talk about where they have that player on their list. And we're going to kind of fill in the different spots as we go. I'll be tracking it in our board and then we'll take a look back at our board at the very end here once again. So Trey, you want to kick us off with your number 10?
Oh, I could do that. Yeah, sure. Just give me uno momento. I forgot to pull up something because with Susie's, I have to say why. So I have to get some. But yeah, number 10, I'm going to go to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I'm going to go with Kenny Lawler. It's going to be number 10. My reason is I think that, you know, well, he had 900 yards last year, was for one thing. He did get 6 touchdowns still, and I don't know if Schoen's going to be one more year, and I wonder if maybe the Bombers are going to have to go a little bit more elsewhere. You know, not that Schoen's going to be non-existent, but I think the Kenny Lawler is still going to be a very valuable asset to ultimately Chris Streveler when Kolaros probably gets yanked, I hope. So where do you guys got Kenny Lawler?
Adam?
I have Kenny Lawler at number 21 on my, no, I'm kidding, not at 21, but he's not on my top 10 list.
Oh.
Kenny the King didn't make it. You know what? I think there's some younger guys, a few different players in this league that just should be just above Kenny, the King Lawler. Not that I say he's that far off of my list, but he didn't make it this year.
Kenny Lawler is at number 5 on my list. He had, as you mentioned, 901 yards last year. That was in 12 games because he missed, like, he showed up in, like, week 9 or 10 because of his early season suspension. 11 guys finished with over 1,000 yards, and he was next on the list last year. You translate to that, you know, that pace at the full season schedule, he's probably at number 1 or 2 last season in terms of total yardage. So You know, Lawler's that guy who he is going to at least once or twice a year put up massive games. And I think he is definitely one of Kolaros' go-to targets. Seemed like he was good for a touchdown a week, or I guess every second week because he had 6 in 12 games. So, yeah, I think a full season of healthy Kenny Lawler puts him in my top 5 wide receivers on the season. Adam, let's go to who do you have at number 10?
I have from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Canadian number, is he, what, 89, I believe, Keon Schaefer-Baker. I think that he's going to have a bounce-back season this year. You can't have two really bad seasons in a row. Well, you can, but that being said, he's got a year now with Trevor Harris. He's got more comfortable. He'll have a full training camp. He was injured most of the last season at the beginning of the season. He's going to get a full training camp. He'll be better than he was last year. I can almost guarantee that. And he'll be a big part of the Canadian Air Force round two for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders this year. Anybody got him on numbers anywhere on the list for you guys?
Yes. You go. Okay.
I'll go. I do not. I have Schaefer Baker on my list. I did think about him, but he wouldn't even be necessarily in my like honorable mentions, like 11 and 12 type of spot. I think he's a great receiver. I think there are a lot of mouths to feed for Saskatchewan. There's question marks on Trevor Harris's health, I would say, coming back from his injury, that Schaefer Baker didn't come to the forefront of mine necessarily in my top 10 list, but a good receiver nonetheless. Trey?
Yeah, I agree with everything Adam said, bounce back year, but I have him a few spots higher. I have him sitting in my 5 spot, Keon Schaefer-Baker. I think bounce back is an understatement. I think that whole Saskatchewan offense, like when you got a guy like Olette, play action is just going to be gravy. And I feel like the skill set of Keon Schaefer-Baker will definitely help out with that.
Yeah, he was a great quarterback or a great running receiver, I guess, for yards after catch when he was playing that first year. And you're right, if they do that some of those hitch passes and just little quick passes when you got a let back there, you're right, he could have a good season. I think so. I don't know about number 5 good, but he'll have a good season.
I love the variation in our lists already. This is fun as it goes along. As we go next to, I guess, my number 10, a guy I will be shocked if I see on your lists, because this is my bold pick here. I'm going to the BC Lions, and I'm going to wide receiver Justin McInnes as my number 10 for this upcoming season. He came in, he went from Saskatchewan, kind of depth role there over to BC. Seemed like a depth Canadian receiver there last year. But he put up 690 yards and 5 touchdowns in 18 games, and he wasn't even a starter in a handful of those games. He filled in really well when Dominic Grimes went down and other injuries happened, so much that I think McInnes made them feel comfortable enough to move on from Grimes and Whitehead in the offseason, despite Keon Hatcher being injured until like October this year. So McInnes is going to get a chance if he's healthy to start every game this year. BC's going to be a pass-heavy team, I think. And I think he can keep improving and get up close to that 1,000-yard mark this year. So give me Justin McInnes at number 10. Did he make either of your list? No.
No. Great pick. I think he's great. Like I said, I just don't have him quite on there. I mean, you're right. There's probably room for him to improve and have a lot more opportunity this year with injuries to the Lions at the start of the year. Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Let's go to you for your number 9 here now, Adam.
I have from the Ottawa Red Blacks, don't call him Jake, it's Justin Hardy. You know what? The guy's underrated in this league. I mean, every time you go and look at Ottawa, you look at other names on their list and you're like, okay, this guy's going to be good. This guy. Nobody has nobody has Justin Hardy. Thanks, Ryan. Now I'm going to be looking at that all night.
Anyways, I corrected you.
Yeah, I know.
Call him Jake Hardy.
Well, hey,
that's Jake Hardy plays for the Montreal as well.
Hey, he might have had a really great season in Montreal. Did have a good semifinal. That's all I'm going to say. But no, J- Justin's, like I said, you look at him all the time, and you look at Ottawa, and you're like, okay, this guy's going to be good, or this guy's, and it always is Justin Hardy that seems to be there and available for the football. I really think that Justin Hardy's going to have another good season this year. Trey, Ryan, anybody got him on your list?
I do not have him on my list. Nope. But I agree. It's one of those guys, again, on the fringe that I think would have, could definitely be in the top. He's one of those guys when we look back in November, if he's in the top 10, I'm not going to be shocked.
Yeah. Likewise, I didn't have him quite on my list. A little bit of an unknown for me with, like, how is Drew Brown going to perform at quarterback for Ottawa? How is Rhymes going to fit in? You know, he had injury issues last year. Are we going to see a bounce back from Jalen Acklin? I feel like he had kind of a down year, even though he actually finished like 13th in receiving, which was a shock to me when I saw that. Braylon Addison as well. So I just don't know what that Ottawa offense looks like this year to confidently put him in my top 10. But he's one of my favorite underrated receivers in the league as well. Let's go to your number 9 now, Trey.
Well, let's go back to the land of banjos and watermelon, and I'm going to take number 15, Sean Bain Jr., with over 1,100 yards last year, 4 touchdowns. Like I said, we all know I have Keon at 5. I think these two guys are going to be the ones that Trevor Harris is going to need to lean on again, and I think they're going to have tons of time to throw the ball with Olette, you know, that play action. Everyone in the whole stadium is going to get caught on that play action because you could just run it to let every play, I think. And so I think Saskatchewan's due for a bounce back year where a few of their receivers will be near the top. Anyone's got Sean Bain? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, I do. I have him at number 7 on my list, actually. Most targeted receiver in the CFL last season. Sean Bain Jr. was with 140 targets on the year. He was a target machine. And if you look at that season where a lot of that was a mix of Mason Fine and Jake Dolagala, if you can get a full year of healthy Trevor Harris throwing the ball to him, yeah, I think he's going to have a very good season. You can roll the tape. I believe coming into last year, Bain was one of the offseason acquisitions across the league I was most excited about. I saw potential for him in Calgary and a real potential to take a next step with Saskatchewan. I think he did that last year, and I think he's going to keep doing it this season. Adam, he's got to be on your list, right?
Yeah, he's on my list. I mean, you know what? There's so many good Canadians in the Riders receiving corps this year. It's so hard to tell, and I mean, they have guys coming off of injury that nobody even thinks about, like Brandon Linnaeus. I mean, he's coming back and he's going to be strong, I think, this year as well, recovering from his injuries. But I do have Sean Bain Jr. He's at number 4 on my list, actually. I put him really high. I think he had really good chemistry with Mason Fine last year for most of it. I think he'll continue it with Trevor Harris. And, you know, I was excited for Bain being re-signed. I was excited for Emelis being re-signed. And, I mean, like I said before, the Riders probably got about 4 or 5 wide receivers that are all Canadians that could all ball out and probably get 1,000-yard seasons, really. Any of them could. So I threw maybe Bain Jr. a little high at 4, but honestly, I'm expecting a big year from him.
Yeah, I mean, clearly we all are. We all have him in our top 10 receivers. So we'll see where he fits in this year. We'll go to my number 9 here next. I'm going to the Grey Cup champion, Montreal Alouettes. And I'm going to a guy who had some injury issues early in the season. He got a slow start when he went back in the lineup, but he was one of the biggest reasons I think that offense got its way to the Grey Cup. And that is the Canadian kid, Tyson Philpott, at number 9 on my list here. I thought the connection between him and Fajardo down the stretch was magical. He's only going to get better. Full season here for Philpott this year. He was one of the top fantasy receivers down the stretch of the season as well. So I definitely think he's taken a step forward. And I have him slotted in at number 9 on my list. I thought about maybe a bit higher, but I'll play it safe. Put him at number 9. You make either of your lists, Trey?
Ryan, you know me. I don't play things safe, right? So I flirted with this, and I had him on my draft list, like my writing it out early as high as 2. He did fall to 3. I'll admit, he fell to 3. He's going to be the bronze medal holder and top receiver this year. Fajardo, you know, we were just talking about the defense of Montreal. Even with Lemon gone, is really, you know, they seem to have replaced it as well as they could. And I think the offense is going to be just as potent. And I think if as long as he stays healthy, I see a couple teams in the East that might be a little weak in the defense and secondary this year. Tyson Philpott, man, give me him third.
Adam, I've got him at 9th. Trey's got him at 3rd. Are you somewhere in between? Where is he at on your list?
I thought about adding him, in all honesty. I wanted to add him, and then I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to put him as an honorable mention. There's so many Canadians that are actually really good receivers this year. I thought there was a few others that probably should go on there. But in number 8, can I go on my number 8 then, if everybody else has done their 9?
Yeah, we can go straight to it.
Okay, because I do have a Montreal Alouette in that spot. And this is a bold one for this one. It's Cole Speaker of the Montreal Alouettes. I debated between him or Tevin Jones. Somebody's got to replace Austin Mack. And Cole Speaker did have some good games down the stretch. He got in late in the season and started up. He's one of those guys that kind of reminds me of Alexander Hollins of BC. I think he's one of those that's going to really have a great year this year. He's probably working hard with Fajardo, I'll presume. And I say that he'll probably be one of the big pieces of either A, why Montreal has a chance of repeating, or B, you know, they don't. So I'll go with Cole Speaker. Anybody got him?
Did not make my list. I was trying to look back at our top 5 countdowns from last year. I thought I put him on there as like one of my top breakout player predictions for 2023, because he looked good in like preseason and a couple of opportunities in 22. And I agree, he looked good in some moments this past season, but no, it was not high enough for me to put him up on my top 10 list. How about you, Trey?
No, never had him. If I'm going to throw one Montreal guy in there, since we're in the... never mind, I'll leave it just in case someone has him. I doubt it, but we'll see.
All right. You know what? Let's go to my number 8 here next. I think I'm going to the Calgary Stampeders and give me Reggie Bagleton. Of the Stamps here at number 8. Bagleton put up 1,119 yards in just 15 games last season. He was another target machine. I feel like there were plenty of games with like 8, 9, 10 catches from him. The only problem with Jake Mayer throwing the ball is a lot of those catches are coming 6 yards down the field for Bagleton. So I almost didn't put him on my list this year because I think a healthy Malik Henry, healthy Clark Barnes, healthy Jalen Philpott. I'm not really sure where his injury's at. You know, a full year of Mark and Michelle, all of those together, does that take away some of the targets? And if, you know, Bagleton needs that high volume to get the big yardage, I almost put him off the list, but I also thought, I think Calgary's offense is just going to be better than last year. I think Mayer is going to be better. And if not, I think Schultz is going to be solid for them. They had a lot of injuries last year. Everyone's healthy. Having that other talent around is just going to open up Bagleton a little bit more. So I think he can dominate a game as good as any wide receiver in the league. So I had to slot him in the top 10 at number 8 here. Where does he land on your guys' list? Does he make the top 10 for you, Adam?
Yep, he did. He was at number 6 on my list. Same reasons. I think Calgary just can't have a bad season like they did last year. I think it'll be Matthew Schultz throwing him the ball still. Pretty early in the season, and I think it's just going to continue. And Schultz has a little bit better of an arm than 6 yards. So I think Bagleton will be stretched out a little bit further than he used to be. I mean, yes, Malik Henry is usually the deep threat, but I think that Bagleton's going to get a little bit better opportunity to get some deeper balls, and I think he'll have a good season. So, Trey, do you make your list?
Ryan was copying my homework because we both have him at number 8. I disagree that I think Calgary is going to be better, but they have to throw it to somebody. And you're right. It could be Malik Henry. It could be a couple other guys. Philpott, if he's healthy. But I was impressed with Bagleton last year. You know, over 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns, you know, and that's a team that wasn't really that good, right? So, you know, if they get better, obviously he'll get better. And if not, they have to throw it somewhere. So, yeah, Reggie Bagleton.
All right. Let's go right back to you, Trey, for your number 7.
Oh, man, you're calling it quicker. I couldn't even pull up the stat sheet, man, before. Let's go to. Oh, shoot. Peter's not cooperating with me right now.
I can go to Adam for his number.
Yeah, go to Adam. Adam.
We got Adam.
Sure. I've got out of the Toronto Argonauts. I've got Tavares Daniels.
You know what? I got that too. I just didn't know why. So whatever Adam says, that's my seven.
Yeah, so Tavares Daniels, I mean, somebody's got to get the football from Chad Kelly. If it's Chad Kelly. It's like I said, Toronto had a great season last year. If I'm not mistaken, I'm just trying to pull up his yardage here.
I got 1,009 yards, eight touchdowns. Yeah. Pretty good year. 11.7 for average.
Yeah, he had a good year last year. I think he's going to have another good year. That's pretty much what I got with him. I mean, I think that, like I said, with the loss of Gurley Gittens Jr., I think somebody's got to take the ball even more, and I think Tavares Daniels is a good choice. So,
yep. I say ditto. Ryan, where do you have him?
I don't have him on my list. He was in consideration, but I stand by, you know, what I struggled with all season long when we were playing fantasy of I never knew which Argos receiver to take, because if Kelly is playing and throwing the ball, he spreads the ball around pretty well between everyone. There's no one dominating the target share there in Toronto. And yeah, Daniels did hit a 1,000-yard season, a very good season. Feel like he had one game in there with like 200 and something yards was a big part of that, was it not? I feel like he had one massive game in there, but some of these other guys we have talked about have as well. But yeah, the uncertainty of what does target share look like there, or and really just the asterisk of is Chad Kelly going to play? If not, you know, who's Cameron Duke's favorite target? I don't know. And how well is he going to perform? So, no, Daniels didn't make my list, but, you know, looking back at the top 10 receivers in the CFL over the past couple of years, you know, he's been right up there in the conversation the past few. Very good player, Tavares Daniels. Let's see. Let's try to round out, I guess, our bottom fives, our 6 to 10s here. We've got Adam's 6 to 10 fully locked in. I'm missing my number 6. Trey's missing his number 6. I can give mine next. I'm going back to the Montreal Alouettes for the second time here, and I'm going to Tevin Jones. I think Adam touched on him a little bit before. He is the guy who's going to come in and fill that Austin Mack role. He's good. He in Saskatchewan, he lined up at left wideout. Austin Mack played left wideout. He fits into the slot perfectly. He has some chemistry with Cody Fajardo and Jason Maas from their time in Saskatchewan. Well, I don't know if I can consider that chemistry because nobody had chemistry in their time in Saskatchewan, but Jones put up like 800 yards last year, despite his role in that offense mysteriously disappearing, just like his knowledge of the playbook, according to Craig Dickinson, as the season went along. Early in the year, I think he was the leading receiver in the CFL through the first handful of weeks. I think he's going to be a big piece of that offense that I predict to be better this year. So give me him at number 6.
Yeah, but was he actually the left wideout? Maybe because he was not reading the playbook right. He was supposed to be the right wideout.
You never know. You never know. Well, I think that spot might be taken by Tyson Philpott. So.
Might be, yeah.
I don't have him on my list. I'll say that. So.
No.
Yeah. Good receiver, just not on my list.
All right. Who do you got at number 6, Trey?
Well, as we know, I had Keyon Schaefer Baker at 5, so this was two that I could have switched around. Both Canadian, both of, you know, similar, very very similar skill. A little older, though, 30 years old coming into this year on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Nick Dembski I have as number 6. I think he'll still be a very valuable piece to the Blue Bombers offense. I just don't, you know, I don't think he's going to be top 3 receiver this year.
Ryan? You want to go next?
He was my number 11, my honorable mention for me, Dembski. I think the Bombers offense, like, I don't think it's going to be as much of a juggernaut for as many. Like, it's going to decline over time a little bit here, I think. And Dembski's very versatile. He gets involved in a lot of different ways, so I really like him in that regard. But I think there are a lot of mouths to feed, and if I expect, you know, diminishing returns from that offense, I think he slightly slides out of my top 10 here. And I just didn't want to overload it with, you know, it's hard to overload it with one team too much. So didn't quite make it for me. But Adam, what do you think?
Yeah, I've got Nick Dembski on my list. I think he's still a great wide out. I have him actually number 5 on my list. Same reasons as Trey said. I mean, he's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. He still seems to got the trust of Zach Collaros. Does great with some of these little weird plays, sometimes a reverse or some weird stuff that I've seen out of Dembski. And yeah, I'm pretty happy to put him at number 5 on my list.
All right. Let's just take a second to look at where we're at on our boards here before we round out the final picks. So we've got our number 6 to 10 fully locked in here. For me, it's Tevin Jones at 6, Sean Bain Jr. at 7, Reggie Bagleton at 8, Philpott at 9, and Justin McInnes at number 10. Trey's got Nick Dembski, Davaris Daniels, Reggie Bagleton, Sean Bain Jr., and Kenny Lawler. And Adam's got Reggie Bagleton, Davaris Daniels, Cole Speaker, Justin Hardy, and Keon Schaefer Baker. A lot of variation between our number 6 to 10. I had a really hard time ordering these guys. I had a pretty clear picture of who my top 5 was going to be, and I knew who I wanted in my top 10. I just didn't know how to order them beforehand. And currently, this is where we stand in the top 5 board here. I've got my number 5 locked in as Kenny Lawler of the Bombers. Trey's got Tyson Philpott at number 3 and Keon Schaefer Baker at number 5. Adam's got Sean Bain Jr. at number 4 and Nick Dembski at number 5. So still a couple of names left to go for each of us here as we continue giving our is that the screen? I think that's the way I had the screen before. Yeah, that looks familiar. There we go. As we continue giving our top 10 CFL wide receivers for 2024. I guess I've got 4 names left to go. Each of you has 3, so I can go next year with my number 4 and try to catch up. Although I have a feeling this guy will show up on some lists. I'm going with my number 4 to the Edmonton Elks. I'll take the first Edmonton Elk off the board here. And it's Eugene Lewis of the Elks for me. Just last offseason, we were talking about every team should put a bid in for this guy. $300,000 contract. Edmonton lands the big fish. And then he's got Taylor Cornelius throwing him a ball in a Stephen McAdoo offense for the first 10 games of the year, which is just not going to – plus an injury in that time too, right? So rough start to the year for Lewis, decent end to the year, but not what we've seen from him before. McLeod Bethel Thompson loves to throw the football, and he can put up a 300-yard game just as easily as any other quarterback in the league, and I think if he does – everybody's talking about that pair of him and Curley Gittens Jr. I'm not sure if that is going to be as effective, and if it is, I think it's going to open up just more room for Lewis to bounce back to what we've seen from him before. Give me Geno Lewis at number 4 on my list. Did he make the list for either of you guys, Trey?
Nope. Not I have no faith in Edmonton. I have little less faith this year than I did last year, so that's not true. Maybe they'll improve. I wonder if Bethel Thompson's just 1 year maybe too long. I don't know, but we'll see. Adam?
Yeah, Eugene Lewis didn't make my list. I'll be honest, I would have put put Dylan Mitchell over Getty. Hurting too much. I know it just hurts too much, but you know what? I got the same reason as Trey. I do not see that offensive line staying, keeping McLeod Bethel Thompson upright. I think the Trey Ford will be in there very soon, and he likes to run. So sorry, but I just couldn't pick an Edmonton. I'll tell you right now, I'll give you a little preview. I did not pick an Edmonton out for the rest of this in this whole list, and I tried to balance my thing to pick one player from each team, and I just couldn't with Edmonton.
I'll spoiler alert, I have the same as Adam in that regard. I couldn't see anyone on that roster that made me go, wow, I got to put him on the top 10.
I'll be honest, if they improve their offensive line, yeah, I probably would have thought about it. But if that old line is going in like what they are, I do not like that O-line in Edmonton. And if MBT gets hurt, there ain't very many balls getting thrown.
That's true. Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, I would be kind of shocked if you did have an elk on your list and it wasn't Eugene Lewis, given we're into your top threes and fours here. Because, yeah, like I said, Curley Gittens Jr., he has that connection with MBT, but he also had a down year last year. You know, can he bounce back from that? Dylan Mitchell had a down year based on expectations. Kyren Moore, solid receiver. You know, they've got some good receivers there in Edmonton. But I think Eugene Lewis is the most pure talent that they have at the position. And I'm hoping MBT can open him up a little bit there and get him back into true Eugene Lewis form. Just looking at the stats, where did he finish? Finished 16th in receiving last year, 844 yards in 12 games. So that's right in line with Kenny Lawler, right? Like Lawler had 901. If I'm talking about him being top five, I think Lewis, despite, you know, a more shaky offense, still put up that many yards. That's pretty good. 100 of them came in one play in the first game of the season. But anyways, he does make my top five list at number four. Let's go to your number four here, Trey.
Let's go to the nation's capital. A return. Give me Dominic Rhymes. I think he's going to have a bounce back year in his return to Ottawa. Again, uncertainty with quarterback, but they got to throw it somewhere. And, you know, to the veteran guy like this, he's new to the offense there currently, but I think he'll have a bounce back year.
Did he make your list, Adam?
No, he didn't. I maybe should have. He is a hell of a good player. He is going to be a big fish in a small, I think I got good receivers in Ottawa too, but I think he's one of the top, he definitely is the top receiver in Ottawa. Should he have? Yes. My thing again is who's giving him the football. If it's Drew Brown and Drew Brown actually succeeds, great. I think he'll do well. If he doesn't, I still think Drew Brown could make a pass to Justin Hardy because Justin usually takes those short routes, and that means he could get a lot of yards. So that was my prediction that Drew Brown isn't maybe the guy right now in Ottawa, or like may not be the best or the thing they're looking for. So I'm going to go with, like I said, no, not on my list.
I'll just repeat what I had said for Justin Hardy. Same thing. Don't trust the quarterback situation necessarily, and a lot of mouths to feed in that offense for Ottawa. Rhymes, I mean, he came out flying at the start of the season last year. Then he got injured, and then he, you know, struggled, I feel like, when he came back into the lineup from that injury to be that dominant force he was. He was the leading receiver or second leading receiver in the CFL just 2 years ago. So that bounce back could happen, as Trey was talking about there. I did consider him, and he was, I would say he's probably in my top 15, but did not make my top 10 list for Rhymes.
One quick question in the chat right now, or actually not really a chat, it's more of a comment. Drew Brown will help Ottawa this year, but he says, will Bob Dice be fired by week five?
No.
Really Bobby Dice's fault? Look what they got for an offensive coordinator in Ottawa. It's Tommy Condell. If there's going to be a problem, it'll be Tommy. In my opinion, anyways. Especially when they got a great running back right now in Ottawa. I hope they don't ruin him. And my thought is on Drew Brown, I really hope he does be the guy that lights the torch in Ottawa and just takes it over and becomes a top quarterback. I'm just worried about their usual case of how they've developed quarterbacks in the past, and it hasn't been a good situation in Ottawa. So, yeah, unfortunately, I'm letting the history play in a little bit with me. But, hey, let's hope he does better.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm in the same boat on that one. Who's your number three, Adam?
My number three is the leading receiver for last year, Tim White of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Pretty straightforward why Tim White's at number three. Bo Levi's getting hurt again. Powell's coming in. He's not going to get the ball as much as he probably did last year, I don't think, although they really ain't got many other receivers on the team, again, Hamilton. So he may get a lot of yards, and he might be the number one pick. But I'll put him in the bronze position, as Trey would say it. Yeah, I'll go with the number three spot for Tim White.
Trey, where did he land on your list?
He is my number two on my list. one of those guys, like, you talked about him a lot last year, but I felt like his stats kept going up. I just didn't recognize it during the game. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really think about it till after you looked at it. So, I mean, which is a good quality to have, I guess. So if people don't notice you're catching the ball, it's hard to make defensive plans for you. But I think he'll be up there.
Yeah, Tim White for me was also at number two on my list this year. I think he, as of right now, is the best receiver in the CFL and was the best receiver in the CFL last season. I do have the same concerns about throwing the ball to him, but last season he led the league in receiving yards at 1,269, despite his offense being coached by Tommy Condell, which had a system where basically everybody knew the ball was going to Tim White when the ball was going to him. He had an aging and injured Bo Levi Mitchell, an average Matt Schultz, and a very inexperienced and slow-starting Taylor Powell throwing him the ball last season. And he still put up that kind of yardage. And to me, that's just shows how good of a receiver he is. I get what you're talking about, Trey, because I especially look at, like, there's a stretch between week 5 and week 9 last year where he had one game with one catch, one game with zero catches. Yeah. Like, there was a stretch there last season. But then also there was a stretch where he had 3 games in 4 weeks, or like 6 of his last 7, 8, or 9 were 90 yards or above. So I think White is, able to just turn it up a notch. And I think having Scott Milanovic coaching that offense for a full season this year is going to help. Whether Bo bounces back, could happen. Or if not, if Taylor Powell takes over, he's got more experience this year to find Tim White as his go-to target. So give him to me at number 2 on my list, same as you'd have him, Trey. I'll fill in my number 3 because there's only number 3 missing. I've got of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Dalton Schoen as my number 3 wide receiver. Dalton Schoen, depends who you ask. A lot of people, especially in Winnipeg, will tell you he is the number one receiver in the CFL, and I don't think he will be this year, but I think he'll still be very good. Again, Winnipeg, you know, how much involvement from Lawler, how much from Dembski, right? A lot of mouths to feed. If I think that offense is going to take a bit of a step back, perhaps, then I can't really put Schoen at number one, but we're going to see over and over again, Zach Collaros on the run out from the right pocket, Dalton Schoen in the end zone. There's another touchdown. We're going to see it over and over again. As we have the last couple of years, is why I have Dalton Schoen still in my top 3. Adam, do you have him in your list?
Yeah, sure. Definitely do. I've got him in number 2. I think he's going to be a good receiver this year. I think he'll be probably one of the better receivers in the league this year. Obviously, a second best receiver, I think. But Winnipeg might take a step back and everything here. And I think there's somebody else that really is going to have his day in the sun here this year. And we'll let you know a little bit later on who I picked at number 1.
Trey, what are your thoughts on Dalton Schoen?
I have him as my number 1 guy. I do agree Winnipeg's going to take the step back. I do agree, like, a lot of that stuff you guys said, but it's still just tough to be like, I think if he's healthy, you know, and like I said, Tim White kind of had those quiet stretches. My number 3 is Tyson Philpott. You know, that's kind of a risky gamble if I was putting money on it. So I think Dalton Schoen still would be the guy. It seems like teams still haven't figured him out. But the second the Rough Riders sign Chase Claypool, I will skyrocket him to number 1.
Schoen for me is always an interesting one. Yeah. Schoen for me is always an interesting one because, like, when I look at his, like, it's 3 catches a game, it's 4, it's 5, but these catches are big catches down the field. They're big touchdown catches, right? So almost like what you were talking about with Tim White. You see his stats rolling up, but sometimes, you know, you don't really feel that because he's only catching the ball a couple of times a game, and then boom, he's a top-tier receiver. I agree with the pick. We've all gotten slightly a different spot in the list, but nonetheless, one of the top receivers in the game. So Trey's list is done. Adam and I still have our number 1. I know because you sent this in beforehand that we have the same one. So Adam, go ahead and tell us who's number one on our list.
Yeah, 2 years ago I said this guy is going to be good, and last year he was pretty good, and obviously he had good yards to show it. And this year here, he doesn't even have Lucky Whitehead on the other side of him. It's Alexander Hollins of DC Lions. I think that without, again, like Lucky Whitehead's not going to be there. We don't see Keon Hatcher for quite a while in this team. I think the BC Lions are going to lean heavily on Alexander Hollins. He had that breakout game in the West Semi there that 2 years ago. He's been just better and better every year. And you know what? Like I just said, BC's got to lean on somebody. And I think that they got a winner in Alexander Hollins. So definitely looking forward to seeing him play. And yeah, I think he's the number one.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. He was number four on the year last year in terms of yardage at 1173. 9 touchdowns on the season for him. All those pieces are gone. Rhymes is gone. Whitehead is gone. Keon Hatcher injured for most of the season. As much as I, you know, had Justin McInnes at number 10 for a lot of those reasons, is a lot of the same reasons I have Alexander Hollins at number one. I think he's got I think I put Vernon Adams as my number one quarterback a couple of weeks ago. Spoiler alert. If you haven't listened to that one yet, I did. Okay. Yes. Double checked on it. I have them as my number one quarterback. I think their offensive scheme is best in the league. Jordan Maximix is my favorite offensive coordinator in the CFL. And I think they're going to need to lean on Alexander Hollins, to do a lot of the work at wide receiver with Hatcher injured for the offense there. So, I think he's ready to take that next step to be tops in the league this year. That's where I have him at. Trey, did not make your top 10 list. Any consideration to Hollins for you?
Yeah, I would definitely give him a top 10 honorable mention here. I guess I didn't really have anyone from BC because I'm just, not sure about it. I agree with what you guys say, but Hatcher's out for so long. Whitehead's gone now, so who's kind of going to, like, isn't Whitehead gone? Or he's unsigned? Yeah, gone. I don't know how they're going to go there. But I think I had Vernon Adams pretty high, too, as my quarterback top five. But, I mean, there might be some new guys we don't think about get 700-800 yards somehow.
All right, so here we have our top 10 list. Let me get this up on the screen here again. I got to move it to the other screen. While I pull this up, I see a comment in the chat asking, has TSN decided what preseason games will be shown yet? Not that I'm aware of. I have not seen anything on that.
But also remember last year that CFL actually did the live streams themselves.
Oh, that's great, yes.
Yeah, they went and they did, like, had a thing where you can go and watch almost any of the live streams or watch the video feed, at least, from the stadiums. So, yeah, all you got to do is just call Michael Ball and he'll live stream or do the play-by-play for you, and then you could just go and watch the feed.
Great. All right, top 10 CFL wide receivers for myself in the top five. We come down. I already recapped the 6 through 10. Four won't rehash those. In the top five, Alexander Hollins, Tim White, Dalton Schoen, Eugene Lewis, Kenny Lawler. For Trey, it's Dalton Schoen, Tim White, Tyson Philpott, Dominic Rhymes, Keon Schaefer Baker. And for Adam, it's Alexander Hollins, Dalton Schoen, Tim White, Sean Bain Jr., and Nick Dembski. A lot of variation in our list. Did that surprise you guys at all? I wasn't surprised one bit by it.
No.
There's so many good receivers in this league. I mean, I wasn't surprised that the top two were the top two, I think, for everybody almost. Top two, three were pretty close. Other than that, yeah, it could have been anybody.
Yeah, I'm surprised we were so close, to be honest. Like, as close as we are, I could have saw us doing this whole thing and none of us have the same guy in the same spot, but we did in a few spots. So,
just to run through the names we missed, I mean, we talked about a lot of honorable mentions there, but let me know what you guys were thinking on some of these names. I think BC, we've covered the major ones. I mean, Javon Katoy, it could be a factor in that offense, but That I would say we covered the major names there. Calgary, any consideration to a bounce back year from Malik Henry? I thought about it at first, but full season missed, and Calgary's offense was a no for me. Any consideration there from either of you?
No, it wasn't a consideration on my side. I just looked at him. I said he was injured last year, and I don't see anything really improving right now in their receiving core and quarterback situation to get a lot of footballs out. So I gave it to Bagleton just because he had a good season last year. But, yeah, otherwise, no.
Edmonton, I think we talked about already that y'all don't trust Edmonton's offense. I've got Eugene Lewis. Saskatchewan, a name that I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think showed up on anyone's list that I had as my number 12 was Sam Emilis of the Riders. I thought, and I almost swapped him and Sean Bain, but I thought there was a little less consistency there from Emilis where it was like 3-touchdown game. Who could forget that one against the Bombers? And then it would be nothing for a little bit. So was there any consideration there, Adam? I know you're a big Sam Emilis fan.
I am, but you watch lots of those catches afterwards, and a lot of them were juggling kind of acrobatic plays that could have been 50-50 balls, and he managed to pull it off, which is good. But I looked at it, and I said, you know, he's not pulling in the consistent ball all the time, like you just said, Ryan. I think I would probably give an honorable mention to the entire Saskatchewan Canadian offensive weapons, because there's enough of them right now. But I would. Yeah, and Chase Claypool coming soon to a field near you. But, I mean, like I say, you got Lanius in there. You've got Schaefer Baker. You've got Amelis, as you just said. You've got Sean Bain Jr. You still got Mitchell Picton, who's actually a pretty good receiver as well. I mean, the Riders are loaded right now in offense, Canadian offensive weapons on deep on receivers. I mean, and they're probably even going to get deeper. Who knows what they do in the draft? I hope they don't go after a wide receiver. Please don't go after another wide receiver. We don't need them. And they're only a year away from having Justin McInnes. I mean, whoever's been drafting, honestly, the Riders have given Jeremy O'Day a lot of grief over taking so many receivers. But boy, it sure looks good when it starts working for him.
Absolutely. Any consideration on MLS for you, Trey? I know you had a couple of Riders in there, I think.
Yeah, I think I had too many Riders. I didn't want to go more than two, but Winnipeg snuck in a third, so I think that Saskatchewan with the two. But definitely he's a guy that I could interchange with either of the two I put up there, depending on injury. So
Winnipeg, we talked about, I think, the big three, right? Lawler, Schoen, and Dembski already. Hamilton, Tim White was the only one that made the list. Terry Godwin had himself a pretty darn good year last year. Finished 15th in receiving yards with 864. I did think about him. I think he could be another guy that takes a big step forward, but any thoughts from you guys? Is it much of the same of the question mark of Bo Levi Mitchell throwing the football?
Yep.
Pretty much my thing. And also now with Krista and Van Zyl gone, he's got even less protection. So yeah.
Toronto, I think the only one that made the list was Tavares Daniels that you both had. Again, they spread the ball around pretty well. DeMonte Cox, he would probably be the next big name in that offense. Did he come up at all for either of you when you were looking at the list? Same thing for me. They spread the ball around too much that I didn't consider it.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it was here. I mean, Coxie, I think you could have put Coxie or you could have put Daniels. I think it was pretty much interchangeable, but yeah, I figured Daniels probably deserved it.
Yeah, I agree. I Coxie came up in my mind, but I only did top 11. He might be top 15, top 20 if we stretched it that far. So, but definitely thought about it.
Ottawa next. We talked about Dominic Rimes. We talked about Justin Hardy. Two other names in there that have been up and down, had some injury issues. Jalen Acklin, Braylon Addison. Wasn't ready to slot them in my top 10. I would have put Hardy or Rimes above those two for myself personally. Any thought there? No, none.
No.
And then finally, we have the Montreal Alouettes. I mean, we were all over the place with the Alouettes. I had Tevin Jones. You guys didn't have him. Adam, you had Cole Speaker as a dark horse in there. Trey and I had Tyson Philpott. I think that covers a lot of big pieces. There's Tyler Snead there. There's kind of Julian Grant, who showed some flash last season. But a lot of mouths to feed in Montreal's offense there as well.
Tyler Snead was my 11. I thought maybe he would have a good year this year. But yeah, definitely the guy. Yeah, didn't think he'd be top 10.
I'll be honest, I'll probably regret not putting Tevin Jones in my list eventually. But I don't know why. I just had a gut feeling on Speaker, so I threw him in.
Hey, I love it. You gotta have those gut feelings. That's why I've got Justin MacInnis in my list at number 10 for this year. So
that's probably also why I have indigestion all the time.
So that's our top 10 wide receivers for 2024. We'll check back in throughout the season. I should really post these on social media as well. I've done a terrible job lately of managing the social media. I've not posted the quarterback or running back chart. I don't even think I posted the running back episode on our Facebook feed, so I probably should do that in hindsight. If you're listening or watching this from the Facebook feed, and you missed the episode last week, go back, subscribe to the YouTube channel or subscribe to the podcast, and then you'll get notified when the episode drops in case I forget to notify you. But yeah, we'll try to stay on top of that a little bit more going forward. Any other last topics, CFL, other sports related you guys want to chat about, or you want to just wrap it up?
What's going on in the horse world, Trey?
Nothing too crazy. There's these like stake races in New York, kind of big deal. That's what it. Yeah, stake. Kentucky Derby is less than a month away. That's always hype, eh? And other than that, not too much. US 3300 on Saturday. You might not hear from me this weekend, boys. I might be rather drunk and rather high all at the same time watching UFC. And that's about it. Kids going to grandma's house for sleepover. So
nice.
Yeah,
I went and I'm proved that I'm still a wrestling nerd and watched WrestleMania last weekend. I don't know why. It was actually interesting. Just congrats to Cody for winning his title finally. I know it's supposed to
be Fajardo.
Yes, Cody Fajardo won the title. Cody Rhodes, I believe it was, but we can go with Cody Fajardo. He was there, made a surprise entrance, and used a steel chair on Dwayne Johnson. No, I'm kidding.
Halftime show, Cody Fajardo in the ring with AJ Ouellette, Riders Alouettes. Let's go.
I pay to see it, to be honest with you. Either that or Moss versus like the front office.
Or Gatorade coolers.
Moss versus Gatorade coolers. But anyways, yeah, no, any good wrestling fans anyways. Yeah, it's pretty interesting to watch. Seen a fellow podcaster crew went down to the big event in Philly. Looked like they had a lot of fun down there, so good job for them, for Sheldon and Travis. They looked like they had a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, other than that, some cool things that happened on there. I don't know.
NHL playoffs are starting soon.
Jets with a big win today, still keeping alive, potentially winning the division, which I don't think will happen. Likely Adams Avalanche are going to be in the way, right? So,
four of the Stars and Nick Ottinger, yeah. One of the two. Good
those job. I was going to say those damn Jays screwed me over. They were tied going into extras, and then they put Meza in. I don't know what that's all about. But they can be worse, I guess.
How far are they from 500 already? Are they like done already?
They were 6-6 before they lost. So they're 6-7 now going into where they play Colorado, then the Yankees at home.
Yeah, Colorado, that should be a pretty good series, but Yankees, I don't know. Yeah. Anybody see the Mets game the other night? And like they're 0-10 so far. There was like maybe 1,000 people in the crowd, and it was just brutal.
No, I didn't see that because anything compared to Oakland, right, is I think the only people who might get more fans than Oakland A's is the Phoenix Coyotes, like, honestly. So.
What do you mean, the Salt Lake City? Salt Lake. Never mind. We haven't talked about
that. Yeah. But, yeah, a lot of sports. Masters is on. I hope a Liv guy wins because I think that'd be funny. Or Tiger. If it's not Tiger, I want a Liv guy, and a Liv guy's winning right now. Yeah, that's about it.
Another week in the UFL is down. Yeah. Some close games, it looks like, this past week. 20-19, 27-24, 20-13, and 23-18. So some close football. Weren't you saying the other day, Trey, St. Louis had like 40,000 people in attendance?
That's what I thought I saw, that they have 40,000 for their game. That's wild. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then I think Birmingham was it that was putting on a $10 seat sale. So hopefully lots of people showed up for that one.
Jake Bates kicked another 60-plus yard field goal, 64-yard winner from the from week one, and then a 62-yarder, I think, this week.
You know which team?
One of the teams, their punter got himself injured on the kickoff. Saw that. This was the guy who tried to kick for the Argos, Donald Delahaye. Big YouTube star, I think, came in and tried to kick with the Argos a couple years ago. I'm getting a job in the UFL, but now he's out for a couple of weeks at least after making a tackle on a kickoff and injuring himself there. So good recovery.
You know what league action has been really, really, really quiet lately? Has been the NFL.
Yeah, because it's the most quiet part of the year right before the draft, because it's pretty set who's drafting what for the first couple anyway, I think. So not a lot to talk about. I heard that supposedly Washington offered like 3 first-round picks or something to Chicago for their first-round pick, and they declined it. So it'll be interesting to see.
All right, let's get into wrapping things up here because I know, Trey, you got to run. Yes. Where can people find the Trey Cinematic Universe?
Yeah, you can find it. Obviously, this is stage one or here, CF count phase one. There we go, phase one CFL countdown. At Trey Harness Link, you'll see all my fun stuff I do in horse racing. I'll have Harness News update tomorrow, and my cashing on the UFC app. Gonna go record that right now and hopefully release it tonight. And my new co-host joins me for the first time, which would be more fun than just me talking to my screen.
Yes, looking forward to that. And sorry to keep you running late here.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. It's really, it was Adam's internet that did it. But other than that, we're good, man. It happens. We're still done before 11.
Yeah, there we go. See, we plan to start at 9, knowing we're not going to start till like 9:30. It's perfect plan. Yeah, I see Richard's in the chat. Good usual listener. Hey, Richard. Good evening to you. Adam, where can people find everything you've got going on?
All I'll tell you is one thing. Brace yourselves. Seating photos are coming. You can find me at Adam Stewart 1. You're going to, like I just said, have seating photos. All that's coming soon. Faster than you think, actually. I'm quite amazed how everything's drying up. Should be sooner than later. Most of the cows are done calving and all the other good stuff. So, yeah, follow me over there on Facebook or on the X or whatever they call it nowadays. Elon, I love you, and you can also go and follow me as well.
Well, that's all the validation I need to do it, right? Is Elon's love. Can I get a calendar of the seeding picks? Is that a thing I can order?
I don't know if you really, really want to see that, but we can make some work. Just send Ryan a calendar of all farm photos and be like, what's happening in this photo? I don't know.
That's what happens anytime you send me photos of the farm. Adam will just send us pictures from his farming and then with no context and expect us to know what it means. And I never do. Just like when Trey sent me movie references. I really have nothing in common with either of these guys, but we host a podcast together. So it's great.
Not knowing Norm MacDonald really set our friendship back.
How did you not know Norm MacDonald?
I've never watched Saturday Night Live.
Oh, man. He's probably the funniest character in Billy Madison, and he says probably 2 lines. So
you know anyway. Me, I don't understand references. Yeah. So I rely on you guys to educate me on these things. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at CooperTrooper42. Mike is there at Mike Garrell. One day he'll return. The podcast can be found at CF Countdown Pod on Twitter and on Facebook. Make sure you check out all of our friends from around the Canadian Football Podcast Network as well at CF Pod Network on Twitter and the Alternative Football Network at the official AFN on Twitter or alternativefootballnetwork.com. Check out all the great UFL coverage going on over there as well. Check out the Discord community if you want to chat with us between episodes, as mentioned. The link is in the episode description for that. It's free to join. And just to wrap it up, whatever podcast platform you're listening or watching on, we appreciate it if you do all the fun things, such as like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, share the show with your friends, help us grow the show. We always appreciate that. On behalf of Trey and Adam, I'm Ryan saying thank you for listening. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.